Hi, everyone, and welcome to Truth Over News. In last week's show, we reported on the Chinese spy, Qiu Zhangguo, who stole lethal man-made viruses from the Canadian government's flagship lab in Winnipeg. Notably, Qiu's point of contact in China was the Wuhan Institute of Virology, the same lab where COVID was most likely created. In a continuation of that story this week, we will delve into the issue of what the spy story tells us about the connections between the Wuhan lab and the Chinese military, connections that we suspected but were never quite able to pinpoint. Well, now we are.
We're not talking about the Communist Chinese Party. We're not talking about the Chinese military. We're talking about scientists that we've had relationships for years.
That was Fauci on June 2nd, 2021. Crucially, that was the day when his emails were uncovered. It was from those emails that we discovered that Fauci had organized a secret teleconference to cover up the origin of COVID. The emails also revealed that Fauci knew far more about the Wuhan lab and the lab's activities than he publicly let on. So when he was asked what the connection was between the Wuhan lab and the Chinese Communist Party, as well as with the Chinese military, the PLA, well, he went into full defensive mode. There is no connection, he claimed. The lab was a totally benign research facility comprised of super nice people who would never do anything nefarious. Fauci further claimed that he knew the people at the Wuhan lab for years, which is kind of an odd admission when you think about it, because all his other testimony is that he had no idea who these people were. In fact, in an under oath deposition, Fauci feigned not to be sure who Shi Zheng Li was, that's the Wuhan lab's director, because he allegedly gets confused by Asian names. So Fauci both claims to know all these people so well that he knows that they are virtue personified and not at all connected to the CCP or PLA. And he also claims that he doesn't know these people at all because Chinese names are so confusing. Well, the truth is that Fauci lied both about not knowing these people and about the Wuhan lab's connections to the CCP and to the Chinese military. We knew of these connections through bits and pieces of information that leaked out and became known over the past few years. For instance, we knew that PLA virus researcher Zhao Yuzhen had developed a COVID vaccine far earlier than possible, unless he started doing it in 2019. We also know that Zhao Yuzhen extensively collaborated with the Wuhan lab. In fact, it was at the Wuhan lab that Zhao Yuzhen met his death shortly after the pandemic started. Tragically, he fell off a roof at the lab, as one does. Of course, we also know that every Chinese institution, like the Wuhan lab, has a Communist Party overseer. At the Wuhan lab, there were probably many of them, but we know that the main CCP official in charge of the lab was Yuan Jiming. But now we have far more and far better evidence of the deep entanglements between the Wuhan lab and both the CCP and the PLA. In fact, we can now report that the Wuhan lab was a hub for the PLA's efforts to steal Western technology, and that Shi Zhengli was at the center of that hub. We can now say with some confidence that Shi Zhengli, the innocent and noble bat lady, which is how she's being portrayed in the media, is really a CCP operative who was, and presumably still is, in charge of many of the CCP's nefarious initiatives to spy on Western labs and to obtain advanced Western biotechnology. As alluded to in last week's show, we gained this new understanding about the Wuhan lab's role and about Shi Zhengli's role from a bundle of documents released by the Canadian Parliament. The document bundle was prepared by the Canadian Security Intelligence Service as part of its investigation into a major scandal at the Canadian National Lab in Winnipeg. We talked about that scandal in last week's show, so we won't rehash it here. But to sum it up, Qiu Zhangguo, the Chinese spy who worked at the Canadian National Lab, secretly sent lethal viruses to the Wuhan lab. What we want to focus on today is what the Chu case reveals about the Wuhan lab, in particular the extent to which the Wuhan lab is entangled with the Chinese military, a fact so vehemently denied by Fauci. A good starting point is that Chu worked for the Thousand Talents plan. In fact, she worked on that plan in various roles. The Thousand Talents plan is a CCP initiative to steal advanced Western technology for its own use, with a special emphasis on military use. Under the 2025 Made in China plan, conceived in 2016, which covered the main portion of Chu's spying activities, the CCP had specifically decreed that biotechnology was an area of strategic priority, and vaccines were named in the plan as a priority. One of the first indications that something nefarious was going on with Chu was that she traveled to the Wuhan lab in 2017 and spent time there developing a vaccine for Ebola. This is something she would have known a lot about because it was also her area of specialization at the Canadian government lab. Only that the Canadian government lab had no idea what she was doing in Wuhan. Canadian authorities thought she was there for a conference. In actual fact, Chu was not only sending lethal man-made viruses to the Wuhan lab, but she was also passing on advanced Western techniques and technologies which she had learned in Canada. And then, again in 2017, Chu was back at the Wuhan lab. She told Canadian authorities that this time it was just a routine scholarly visit. But the real reason for Chu's trip was to cultivate her role in the Thousand Talents plan. Although some details are redacted, we can see that Chu's contact point at the Wuhan lab for the Thousand Talents plan was Individual 1. Individual 1 is not named anywhere in the Canadian report, but based on various bits and pieces of information that are in the report, we were able to work out that Individual 1 is Xi Zhengli, the director of the Wuhan lab. So that is how we know that Xi Zhengli isn't just some virtuous bat lady, but actually the Wuhan lab's Thousand Talents coordinator. This is evident from the fact that Xi Zhengli was Chu's Wuhan lab chaperone in all things to do with the Thousand Talents program. Much later, after Chu was found to have stolen lethal viruses and shipped them to the Wuhan lab, Canadian intelligence services asked her about the Thousand Talents plan. Chu lied and feigned ignorance, but finally came up with two names, Xi Zhengli and someone who is identified in the Canadian report as Individual 3. There isn't much information on Individual 3, but we suspect it might be Yuan Jiming. He's the CCP's official in charge of the Wuhan lab. We can also see from an unredacted portion of the report that Chu agreed to work at the Wuhan lab for the Thousand Talents plan for at least 2 months every year. Of course, she never told this to Canadian authorities. She was also richly rewarded for her role in Thousand Talents. The exact figures are not known, but the ballpark indicated is up to 5 million yuan per recruit, which is about $720,000. What's interesting in terms of this disclosure isn't so much the money itself, but the fact that the Wuhan lab was paying it. This gives us another link between the CCP and the lab, because obviously the lab wasn't paying this kind of money out of charity. The CCP was undoubtedly footing the bill. Among Chu's tasks in the Thousand Talents plan was to build China's, and we quote, biosecurity platform for new and potent infectious disease research and achieve leading status internationally in the area of BSL-4 virus research. What does leading status in international virus research mean? Well, it means doing what the leaders do. And one of those leaders is Ralph Baric from the University of North Carolina, the so-called godfather of gain of function. By the way, Baric was the leading brain behind the 2018 Diffuse Blueprint for making COVID-like viruses in a lab. We've often heard the excuse that that blueprint was not funded and therefore could not have led to COVID. But as we just saw, China wanted to emulate the leaders. They might well have gone ahead with Baric's experiment. They didn't need US money. They had enough money of their own. Just to show how brazen Chu was and how entangled the Wuhan lab was in her spying activities, a Wuhan lab scientist who was only identified as individual 2, helped Chu steal vials of material from the Canadian lab. Again, this is the Canadian government's flagship lab, a supposedly top secret lab. According to the Canadian Security Services report, Q somehow persuaded her Canadian employers at the lab to hire this individual from the Wuhan lab. The report says that this may have been the first researcher from the PRC to come to Canada that Ms. Chu directly facilitated. We also know from the Canadian report that the person at the Wuhan lab who was CC'd on the delivery of these lethal viruses which Chu stole from the Canadian lab was individual 1, Shi Zheng Li. And we know that at least 5 of the stolen viruses were used as part of a secret Wuhan lab project to make mRNA vaccines. That project, which the Canadian report refers to as WIV or Wuhan Lab Project 1, comprised Shi Zheng Li working with Chu. Project 1 was done directly for the Chinese Academy of Sciences. The Chinese Academy of Sciences is a state-owned entity with a lot of military-related roles. The Wuhan Lab is one of the sub-entities under the Chinese Academy of Sciences. The section in the Canadian report that talks about the WIV Project 1 confirms that the Chinese Academy of Sciences works directly for the PLA in acquiring advanced Western biotechnology. Unfortunately, large parts of this section on the PLA are completely redacted, meaning that the Canadian government knows what it says, but we don't. But there is enough information to conclude that the Wuhan lab was engaged in a secret vaccine program with or for the PLA. Then there's a second project referred to as WIV or Wuhan Lab Project 2, also done under the auspices of the Chinese Academy of Sciences. Not much is known about that project due to redactions, but from what is known, it involved animal infection work specifically related to bat viruses and future vaccine development. Animal infection would be used to either test newly engineered viruses or to test vaccines after the animals were already infected. Chu, who was in charge of overall planning, and Shi Zheng Li, who was in charge of project design, headed the WIV Project 2, which was supposed to have run from June of 2019 to May of 2021. It is not known if the project was ever completed. The Wuhan lab scientist whom we mentioned earlier, whom Chu had gotten into the Canadian lab, was tasked with doing the actual animal infecting. Was this the project in which the Wuhan lab executed Ralph Baric's diffuse proposal? It could well have been. The start of this project in June of 2019 fits, as does its affiliation to the Chinese Academy of Sciences and its cryptic name, High-End User Nurturing Project. Another section talks about Chu's direct connections to the PLA. It is heavily redacted, but some bits of useful information are accessible. When Chu worked at another Canadian lab at the University of Manitoba, this was before she worked at the top security government lab, she recruited another assistant from China. That assistant's salary was paid directly by the Chinese embassy in Canada. The assistant's name is not known. The report refers to this person as Restricted Visitor 1. When Canadian investigators started looking into Chu, they discovered that Restricted Visitor 1 had an official passport, meaning it was for government officials. And then they discovered that this person whom Chu had brought into a Canadian lab is a member of the PLA, but not just any member. The person's mentor is a major general in the PLA, and not just any major general, but the top virologist at the PLA's Academy of Military Medical Sciences. In other words, the person whom Chu got into the Manitoba lab was a close collaborator of one of the PLA's top officials in charge of bioweapons research. And Chu herself had close ties to the PLA through the Academy of Military Medical Sciences, where she taught. She hid those ties from Canadian authorities and from anyone in the West. Canadian investigators noticed that Chu's CV had 2 versions, one for China, where the Academy of Military Medical Sciences was mentioned, and one for Western labs and Western universities, where all that information was removed. Since Chu is herself deeply entangled with the PLA, why did she need the Wuhan lab as a conduit? This is the key question, and the answer ties everything together. Chu needed the Wuhan lab as her cover story. Her trips to Wuhan were declared to Canadian officials, but declared under false pretenses. You see, Chu was supposedly just visiting the innocent and virtuous Bat Lady, just going to conferences. No mention of Thousand Talents, no mention of secret bat virus experiments, and no mention of the PLA. That is why the Wuhan lab cover story was so valuable. It allowed CCP operatives, not just Chu, to frequently travel to China without arousing suspicion. And this brings us back to where we started, because it was Fauci who pushed the same false narrative of the innocent, virtuous Bat Lady with no CCP ties. So who else was using the Wuhan lab as a cover story? What role did the PLA play in the 2019 Bat Virus Project? Was that the secret project that led to COVID? One thing is for certain, the Wuhan lab's close tie to the CCP and to the PLA have opened a huge new can of worms in the COVID origins saga. Thanks for joining us in today's episode of Truth Over News.